Hey, good morning, everyone. So this morning I'm going to tell you a story about Billy Graham. Does anyone under the age of 30 know who Billy Graham is? If you're under 30 and you know who he is? Okay, yeah, that's what I was afraid of. Okay, so just heads up, he was a preacher. He was a very famous preacher. And Billy Graham, he first preached in England in 1946. Great Britain was still recovering from World War II, like just beginning to recover. And so Billy and all these young men that he was preaching with from Youth for Christ, they got a really good deal at London's Dorchester Hotel. It was a beautiful, real swanky hotel. And once they got into this hotel, they made some stiff upper lips, even stiffer, by acting like a bunch of country boys in this fancy English hotel. They started romping under the chandeliers, and they started yodeling in the hallways. People in England don't do a lot of yodeling, as I understand it. Billy was most astonished by what was in his bathroom, though. Billy told his roommate to step into the bathroom. "Chuck, come here a minute. Look at this thing." And Billy pointed to a fixture on the floor right next to the toilet. "What's that? What in the world is that for?" Neither of them had ever heard of a bidet before. Maybe you've never heard of a bidet before. I don't know. His roommate took a wild guess and said, "Man, it's the place where you wash your feet." Billy threw out his arms and declared, "I tell you, this place has got everything." The phone rang and their buddies in the next room calling for Billy, because they figured Billy was a smart guy. He was a wise guy. Surely he had the wisdom. They wanted to know from Billy what that thing in their bathroom was next to the toilet. They didn't know what a bidet was either. And so they asked Billy, "Now what do you suppose that thing's supposed to be?" Billy, as usual, spoke with great authority. "Man, don't you know? That's what they have to wash your feet in." The Reverend Dr. Billy Graham eventually became comfortable among the powerful and among the privileged. Billy advised a dozen U.S. presidents, but he never lost his humility. Deep down, Billy was just a farm boy who needed a little help learning what a bidet was for. And I'll give you a hint, it's not for washing your feet. Billy never claimed to have all the answers. He just preached a simple gospel message that if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, that you can be saved from your sins, that you could be saved from death itself. It's the same gospel message that we preach here every Sunday, that you can be saved if you put your hope, your trust, and your faith in Jesus Christ. Billy Graham died on Wednesday at the ripe old age of 99. America's favorite preacher is dead, but the gospel lives on forever. Today we are turning to John chapter 13, where Jesus washes the feet of his disciples, and you've got the whole gospel right here in today's story. It begins, first of all, with the grace of God. Jesus does something so undeserved, so unmerited. He gives you something for nothing. And then second, Jesus sends his disciples into the world to pass on the grace that they received from Jesus Christ. Let's open up the gospel of John 13 right now. Let's hear some good news, shall we? That you are saved by grace alone, and you were sent into the world to share that grace with others. John 13, verses 12 through 17. When he had finished washing their feet, Jesus put on clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I've done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for this is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, No servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. God's word. So, Billy Graham once said that man, that's old-fashioned language, I'm going to update it, humans have two great spiritual needs. One is for forgiveness, the other is for goodness. Two spiritual needs. One is for forgiveness, the other is for goodness. Today's scripture addresses both of those two great human spiritual needs. First, it's about forgiveness. Jesus is giving the disciples something for nothing. This is what we call grace. Second, for goodness. Jesus sends his disciples into the world to bring the goodness that they have received from Jesus to people who need to receive it, to go into the world and wash some feet in Christ's name. First, we're going to talk about point number one, and that's we got to let Jesus wash our feet. Now, the streets of Jerusalem in the time of the first century when Jesus was preaching and teaching, the streets were really gross, okay? They were crowded, they were unpaved, they were nasty. There were no garbage trucks in the ancient world. So you know what happened? The streets collected a lot of refuse. And there was very limited sanitation in the ancient world, which means that there was animal waste. There was human waste all over the streets of Jerusalem. You wouldn't want to go to Jerusalem and walk around if you had rubber boots that went all the way up to your waist. Jesus and his disciples, they walked around the streets of Jerusalem in open-toed sandals. I was going to wear sandals today to church. I forgot to do it. I just remembered right now, like, oh, I was going to wear my sandals. It was gross. So a good host, and when I say a good host, I mean really any host worth visiting, would leave water out. And, you know, part of being a good guest is that you would wash your own feet when you came into the home. Now, only the most ridiculously humble hosts would actually get down on their knees and wash the feet of their guests. Sometimes they would have the woman of the house wash feet. Remember, these were sexist times, right? Sometimes they would have the children of the house wash their guests' feet. That sounds fun, doesn't it? If you had a foreign slave, you could make your foreign slave wash your guests' feet. If you had a Jewish slave, it was forbidden to make a Jewish slave wash the feet of a guest. It was below them, was the thinking of the day. Now, disciples. Jesus had how many disciples? I don't even have that many fingers. Give me two fingers. There you go. There you go. Yeah, 12. Yeah, there you go. 12 disciples. He had 12 disciples. And he had the power as their master, as their Lord and teacher, as it's mentioned in the scripture today, to make them do any menial task. Wash windows? Sure, why not? But he couldn't ask them to do anything with the feet. Off limits for a teacher to ask that. So it is a deeply humiliating thing to scrub the filth off of people's feet. Now, for a banquet in the ancient world, you would lay down on the ground, right? And everyone would put their left elbows on the ground, and they would eat from the center with their right hand, and they would turn and they would talk to their buddies. This is how you would eat at a banquet like the Last Supper. You've seen that Leonardo da Vinci painting? Yeah, that's completely wrong. It's like this. You're laying down, you're eating your food. Here's the food. Where are the feet? As far away from the food as possible. Why? Food tastes so much better when it does not smell like feet. Food tastes so much better when it doesn't smell like refuse from the street. Amen? Amen. All right. So that's what's going on. Jesus, in the middle of the meal, he disrobes. That should shock you. Shocks me. And he goes around the circle and he starts washing people's feet. There are a couple shocking things about this, besides the disrobing part. First of all, Jesus washes their feet after they've already broken bread, after they've already drunk the wine. Why didn't he do this before dinner? It would have made the dinner so much more pleasant if he had, right? I don't know. But the second thing is, Jesus is the teacher. Jesus is the Lord. He is the least likely person to wash feet at that dinner party, and yet he does. He submits himself, gets on his knees, and he washes feet. Peter speaks for all of humanity when he says, "No, you shall never wash my feet." It is terribly embarrassing. When your teacher, when your Lord, when your hero gets involved in your mess, gets involved in your stink, gets involved in the filth that you've created, that you brought to the party, and wants to fix it for you, that is deeply embarrassing. When someone says, "I'm going to fix your mess for you." But Jesus says, "No, no, 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 no. The only way you can have anything to do with me is if you let me wash your feet." This is what it means to be saved by grace alone. Someone once asked Billy Graham to explain the grace of God, and Billy said, "God's grace, quite simply, is God's mercy and goodness towards us. Some have called it God's unmerited or undeserved favor, and that is what it is. God's mercy and goodness to us, even though we don't deserve it. God's goodness and mercy to us, even though we don't deserve it." That's what grace is. But a lot of us are like Peter. I've got some Peter in me. Do you have any Peter in you? Where you don't want someone to clean up your mess. You want to clean up your own mess first. You want to earn your place at the table. You want to earn your place next to Jesus Christ. We figure that if we could just clean up our act, then we would deserve to recline next to Jesus at the heavenly banquet. But that is not the way grace works. The only way anyone can come to Jesus is by accepting this free and unmerited grace of God. All you have to do is put your faith in Jesus Christ. And Jesus has got you covered. He has got your feet scrubbed clean. All you have to do is put your faith in Jesus, and it's done. It's complete. You belong at the table. Not because you've never stunk a day in your life, because Jesus wipes the stink away. Jesus washed his disciples' feet as a way of preparing them for the cross that was coming just a few hours from then. Jesus was going to be betrayed. He was going to be arrested for a crime he didn't commit. He was whipped. He was stripped. He was stuck in a crypt. Jesus died on the cross to cover the cost of their sin and your sin and all sin. And the point of this, the point of Jesus going to the cross, is that you can't earn it. No matter how hard you try, no matter what you do, no matter what goodness you bring into the world, you can't earn your own way to heaven. You have to depend on God's grace. That's the point of the cross. And Jesus is trying to help his disciples figure this out before he died. They don't really understand it until afterwards when he rises from the dead. And they go, "Oh, we do get it. It's only because you did something for me that I can't do for myself that I'm saved for eternity." This is the message that Billy Graham was really good at preaching. That we are saved by grace alone. He liked to say, "Just as I am." I would have had to sing that today, but we sang about it 2 weeks ago. I didn't know that Billy Graham would be passing this week. Just as I am. Just as you am. Just as we am. That's how we come to God. Stinky feet and all. And Jesus washes us clean. Now, the second point today is that we need to wash the feet of others. Now, when Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, he was teaching this gospel message that we are saved by grace alone. But that's not all he was doing, because he gave the disciples a command that they need to go. They need to wash feet. We need to go. We need to wash feet. The foot washing story illustrates this free and unmerited grace of God, but it also is the Christian ethic, how we need to live our lives in humble service to other people, getting down on our knees, doing the thankless task in order to bring someone one step closer to Jesus Christ. If you want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you have to accept grace to be your salvation. If you want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, it doesn't end there. That grace, that same grace, sends you into the world so that other people can experience God's mercy and undeserved grace, graciousness as well. Foot washing is a lot like the crucifixion, and that story is coming up soon. You see, they're both divine deeds in order to release us from sin. They are both moral examples that we are obligated to imitate if we want to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. If Jesus washed feet and sacrificed his life in order to save the world, then his followers must be ready to pay the same price to help others find this same grace. Now, the prophet Isaiah once proclaimed, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation." Doesn't that sound like Billy Graham? Billy Graham must have had beautiful feet. He went to 185 countries in order to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. Doesn't that sound like beautiful feet to you? Billy Graham spoke to approximately 215 million people in person, helping them hear in simple, clear language, "You can be saved by grace alone." Hundreds of millions of people who never got to see him in person, like myself, saw this guy on TV and on the radio, and they saw him on the internet. This is who Billy Graham is. If you're under 30, this is who he is. He did more in the 20th century to help people come into a living relationship with Jesus Christ than anyone else. That's who Billy Graham is, okay? Who is it in your generation? Before I dump that on you, who's it in my generation? Before I dump that on me, who's it in the boomer generation? Who is it? I don't know. God used this guy in a special way. And Billy Graham is famous for preaching this simple gospel message, but we don't give him enough credit for, is that Billy also preached on just about every social issue of the day. I've heard people say, "Well, Billy preached salvation, but he never preached how you're supposed to live." That's not true. He preached on just about every social issue of his day. Billy once said, "God has given us two hands, one to receive and the other to give with. We are not cisterns made for hoarding. We are channels made for sharing." My friends, this is the whole gospel. This is the whole gospel, where you get grace, and grace alone is what saves you, and yet you are sent to do good in the world. That is the whole gospel. And that's what this guy preached. The grace of God sends us into the world to behave in a moral and loving way. Billy Graham was more than just an evangelist. He taught people how to live. He was voted among the 10 most admired people in the world 61 years. Between 1948 and 2017, he was among the top 10 most admired people in the world. Who can match that? There's no name that comes close to matching that. In 1964, Billy Graham won the George Washington Carver Award for Race Relations. In 1969, Billy was recognized by the Anti-Defamation League for for his efforts to foster peace between the Jews and the Christians. In 1996, Billy and his wife Ruth, they won the Congressional Gold Medal for morality, racial equality, family, philanthropy, and religion. In accepting the Congressional Gold Medal, Billy preached to Congress, "As Ruth and I receive this award, we know that someday we will lay it down at the feet of the one we seek to serve." Well, he laid it down on Wednesday. Graham preached against racial segregation as early as 1952. That is remarkably early. Billy Graham integrated his audiences as early as 1953. That's ridiculously early. He was also a friend to Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Billy invited Dr. King to pray at a crusade in 1957. Again, very, very early. Billy, I learned this on the internet. I learned this on Facebook this week, and I didn't believe it. I just thought it was someone posting it, so I looked it up. Actually, it's true that Billy Graham actually posted bail to get Dr. King out of jail when he was going to jail for standing up for racial righteousness. I love that story. I wasn't aware of that story. And it's true. Dr. King once declared, this is Dr. King preaching, "Had it not been for the ministry of my good friend, Dr. Billy Graham, my work in the civil rights movement would not have been as successful as it was." That's great, right? That's really impressive stuff. And yet, even though Billy got on his knees and washed feet, even though Billy lived his life in Christian service, he was far from perfect. In fact, I've read a lot of newspaper articles in the last couple days that have been highly, highly critical of Dr. King on the issue of race relations. Frankly, some of these articles have been downright mean-spirited and ugly, and that's a shame. I think we can't admit that Dr. King was not perfect. He refused to participate in the March on Washington. He criticized the civil disobedience tactics in Selma, Alabama in 1965. He was not perfect. But as the civil rights leader, John M. Perkins, who is a friend of the Covenant Church, as he declares, he says, "I remember Billy telling me he regretted not doing more to remove the ropes of racism. He repented and asked my forgiveness. Even though he had done so much, Billy had humility, and I admire him for this." This is what it means to wash feet. This is what it means to wash feet. Yes, to serve your neighbor in love, but it's that humility piece. This is what I admire about Dr. Graham too, that he did all this good work with great depth to his humility. He was quick to admit the mistakes of his past, and he didn't always get it right, but he had the humility to confess that he could have done better. Remember, we are saved by grace alone. God is not going to chalk up all the good things you've done and all the bad things you've done, weigh which one's the heaviest, and decide whether you get to heaven or not. No, we are saved by grace alone. This is what Billy preached. This is what we preach here in the Covenant Church. You are saved by grace alone, and that grace should change who you are, not only to motivate you to do loving things and kind things, but to get humble, to get down on your knees, and to serve a world that is desperate to hear some good news. Again, who is it in your generation? Who is it in my generation that's going to pick up the mantle of this man who died at 99? Billy Graham once said, "The highest form of worship is the worship of unselfish Christian service. And the greatest form of praise is the sound of consecrated feet seeking out the lost and the helpless. Billy Graham had beautiful feet. Billy Graham had consecrated feet. How are your feet doing? How are those feet? Are they all clean? Have they been sent in the right direction? Are they walking in the footsteps of Jesus Christ? Look, my friends, how are your feet doing? Have they been made clean by the grace of Jesus Christ? And have they been sent in the right direction to go and serve a world that needs to hear about this grace of Jesus Christ? How are your feet doing? Come on, I'll get you clean. Not by my power, but by what Jesus has got for you. Let's get you clean in the grace of Jesus Christ. And then you got to take these feet out of this building. Because as long as we keep these feet nice and cozy, I really should have worn those sandals today. As long as these feet are cozy and comfortable and contained inside these shoes in the warm comfort of Bethany Covenant Church, they're not doing their full thing, are they? These feet got to leave the building, right? Look, friends. The whole gospel, and it's the gospel that Billy preached to, is a two-step process. Oh, I like that. I just made that up. That's good. First step, you got to accept this grace of Jesus Christ. Second step, you got to bring that grace into the world that is so desperate to hear something loving, to hear something graceful, to hear something true. My friends, Billy's just a man. He's a really good man. He's just a man, just like you. Just a human being like you. Just as God sent this guy to serve for 99 straight years, maybe we could step out in the faith of Jesus Christ and to share this grace that we have received and to see a world changed by love and mercy, and forgiveness, and goodness. My friends, let's take both steps towards grace and with grace. Amen.